they're getting bit complaints from people, neighbors burning trash.
Hey, let's get started. 6 o'clock, a few minutes after. I'd like to welcome everyone out to our Mount Pleasant City CPRA meeting. April 12th, 6 p.m. We'll start with a roll call.
Paul.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Paul.
Here.
Rocky.
Here.
Yeah.
Here.
Okay, first up on the agenda is approval of minutes of the March 8th regular CPRA meeting.
The siding for the arena bathroom. Oh. We haven't done it yet, so. And before we do that.
Now, I'm wondering if that's those boards that he's got going in those horse trails, so that.
Oh, I'll bet you that's what it is.
I probably is.
That's what it is. It's in the horse corrals, in the stalls, I got one to fill it in.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
that's what it is.
For Thompson Morgan.
Yeah.
Thompson Morgan.
I asked what I had to send you, but I didn't just give you that. That's what I was saying.
Nobody got any more questions. I'll make a motion we approve the invoice register dated 3-5-2022 to 4-8-2022 in the amount of $32,431.69.
I'll second that motion.
Here I have a motion by Russell, second by Ronnie, to approve the invoice register dated 3-5-2022 to 4-8-2022. The amount of $32,431.69. Roll call.
Lynn.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Rondi.
Yes.
Sam.
Yes.
Okay, Mark, we'll turn it down over to you.
Okay, I'll move quickly now. Some of this I'm going to hand out to Vicki Dunn. The first thing I'd like to call your attention to is the fact that the Main Street meeting will be here this Friday, the 15th. The first meeting will be at 10:30 when I'll meet with them to go over everything. And then at noon, I'll be meeting with the stakeholders. We've got about 18 people coming to that. And then they'd like to meet with the community leaders from 1:30 to 2:30. And so far, I've got a report back that Mike can make it, you can make it, and Rondi can make it. Anybody else can? I think the important thing to point out.
Who else can make it?
I think I can.
Yes. We're going to have to do a work session for that meeting, where we have a quorum. We'll have to advertise.
We're only going to be, Okay, exactly.
Just dealing to the historical.
100%, open meetings law, because I reckon there's gonna be two, even three, and even do it, yep, absolutely.
So we'll have to post it.
That's absolutely correct. Now, yeah, I sent you more stuff than you ever wanna know, but the reason I sent you that to the last round of this stuff is because of the fact that we wanna make it clear to them, and we happen to have somebody here that's all aware of it as well, our current Main Street chairman, we wanna make it clear to them that, sorry about that, this is what I sent you a link to all this. Now, I wanna make it clear to them that we have been a Main Street community since 1994, a quarter of a century. We've probably done $5 million in projects, but we don't wanna go back to where the Main Street program means this street. And so what I'd like to do is hand out one more time, this is the resolution we passed in 1997, 3 years after we had been a Main Street community. This is the resolution, you've seen it before, I'll let you have it one more time. And behind that, what I have is the various funding sources that we went to do this, and you can see that the Main Street reaches across everything from housing to the industrial park, the swimming pool, and I hope we all agree that in terms of community development, economic development, preservation, being the chair community for the heritage area, I hope we all agree we want to keep doing that kind of stuff, not just have Main Street be it. And so I hope in these meetings we're going to be able to make that point clear, if that makes sense.
Does that make any impact on like our zoning? Like, I'm just thinking of Spring City gotten a historical Main Street, you know, may require some things.
The fact, what they have in that packet that we have here, I sent in pieces from the general plan. We already have a historic district zone, we have a historic overlay zone. Okay, that takes care of that, we'll take care of that day. Now, the next thing I'd like to call your attention is the fact that, an update quickly on the grants. I got word from UDOT, we are indeed number one to get $1.2 million for the trail from Mount Pleasant to Spring City. And we've applied for $500,000 from Utah, the governor's office of outdoor recreation, and $150,000 for state parks. But the $1.2 million, we write number one in the state. And you've received remember when we did the study, we had a $41,500 grant from UDOT, the heritage area put up $3,500, and we did that study. And that study pushed us to the top, and now we're gonna implement it. And there's nothing in there at this particular time. There's no money in the city budget, we don't intend to do it with the city budget. It's gonna be independent of the city. It's a project that consists of Mount Pleasant. Dave's involved in submitting the application, but it's gonna be Mount Pleasant, Spring City, San Pete County, and UDOT, okay? And it'll take the trail on down to Spring City. It will be a biking trail, one motorized trail, but also be an equestrian trail, so you can ride horses along that trail. And I'll keep in touch with you on that one.
So is it gonna be just dirt?
It's going to be a combination. We're getting the plan. There'll be one little part would be dirt, the other going to be asphalt. We're still working on the materials.
There won't be a lot of motorized vehicles to get on.
It's not motorized. Now, it's going to be a problem. We know, we're not super. We know it's going to,
electric bike.
We know it's going to be almost impossible because people have got used to doing that. We're not going to have any traffic cops out there. We have to identify as non-motorized. We recognize the reality of the fact that people are going to ride ATVs on. I think that's a fact.
Yeah, that's the worry, is the ATVs.
So is that, Mark, real quick, will that 1.2 go all the way? It'll do the whole thing?
I told Terry McKee, I said, we got to have that $500,000. It costs a lot of money to do these trails, but UDOT's made a priority to do these, to encourage people doing it. And we kept hustling, we run it for 3 years, haven't we, Dave? I was surprised that we came out number one in the whole state. So, now let's go on the paper here, Steve. Put your Main Street Chair Committee hat on and get your report out. Okay, the next thing I'd like to come with you very quickly is the where we stand on the development implementation of the grant we've got for the equestrian center. Dave and I and the mayor met to talk about processes, and I talked to you and, of course, to Jack to explain tonight how that's going to work. Now, thus far, you look on your claims, you saw that we paid some money out, a couple thousand dollars, I think $2,200, for the trails people, that part of the grant. You recall what we have here for this grant money, $30,000 for the equestrian projects coming from state parks, $50,000 Mormon Pioneer National Heritage Area, $25,000 in kind Mount Pleasant, $150,000 from Outdoor Rec, $9,000 in kind from the Backcountry Riders, and good work, Mike, $340,000 from the Department of Community and Culture. So we've got in hand $604,000.
I just want to say a word on that grant.
The 340?
Yeah, the 340. So I went to mayors and commissioners meeting.
Yeah. Tell me after that.
After Mont had brought us the story of me from wanting to build the arena, and I hit Steve Lund up really hard at our mayor and commissioner meeting, and he sat there and he says, I want to get money for the arena. I says, okay, how much can you get us? So then I come back, and he contacted me a couple of times. I got a hold of Mont and Dave. And his
we got a bid from CNO for $340,000.
Yeah, Montgomery got a bid. Dave done the paperwork.
We got all the data there, and he submitted it to the intern.
Yeah.
And it took a while to finally find out we got it.
But Steve told me at first we didn't get it. Then after
here's what happened.
We got it.
And Steve, Main Street had our reporter hat on. Please. The county is ticked off because the county went after an earmark like this for the fairgrounds. And then the committee here, they said, we're not going to fund that, it's never used. We love that contour, it's used all the time. So we got money and they got nothing. So you got 604, the answer was to put money into the landscaping for the eventing. You probably saw that crowd down there this weekend.
It was
quite amazing. But anyway, if we get all this together, it'll be 904,000 improvements. My guess is, we do an appraisal after this is over, that's got to be worth $5 million down there when we're all through, I think.
So, not to interrupt, so kind of an issue that came up.
Okay.
The door that we talked, Jack was wanting to cut out. That is a fire exit door. He can't change that. However, James Roberts happened to be at district last night, and he bounced me. He has already bought that door. The door is ready to go put in. It's a $4,000 door. However, we put that door in. You just opened yourself up for a lawsuit.
Can you comment on that at all? You've been working with Jack on this.
So it's already, I'm not willing to look into it.
It's been ordered?
It's ordered, it's over there. Now he has to eat the cost of it if we don't put it in. If we put it in, State Farmer says you automatically just open yourself up for an instant lawsuit.
We better have a meeting set up with us.
So what we might have to do is look at not taking that door out, maybe just adding that door in a separate spot. Maybe a different place on the arena. You know what I mean? We might have to cut a new hole.
I guess that couldn't be the door of the $340,000 building, could it?
No. I don't know
the design of that building, but it could be used in that door.
But you can't, but that's a fire emergency egress door, so he can't touch that one.
Okay, that's
otherwise it's a
let's not take any risks.
No.
Can you get in touch with me, and I'll get Jack, and you and I and Jack can get together?
Like you said,
and let's also see if it's possible we can, so we don't have to eat that. We can't have him eat it. Maybe it can be incorporated into that addition of the building.
So, I just was going to bring that up now, just because maybe there's a different spot we can put it versus that.
Cut the wall someplace else. We can't find business, man. You know,
it's custom built. That's the problem. Where you can't send it back.
It's for those two double doors on the east.
I think you said it was like 6 foot by 10 foot or something like that. I can't remember.
Why is there a lawsuit?
Because fire code says you have to have double egress doors to go out, and it can't be a roll-up door, and this is a roll-up
door. Oh, it's a roll-up door.
Yeah.
So again, it's got a motor on it, so the power's out. It can't roll up, or even if it was any event or any people even in there, it's got to be able so you can egress out.
Let's not make any of the kind of crowds we get.
That was my worry, is it, you know. So
can you get together with me and we'll...
Yeah, I just think we could maybe put it in different spots, what my thoughts were, but...
Yeah. All right, we're on it. Now, in terms of the process, Dave's going to have a separate line item in the CRA budget to handle this project. Now, thus far, we processed that one claim for 22, and I got a couple more to give you. One that came in today from, when I forwarded you the emails, one from, once again, the backcountry riders, that's for about another $1,200. Now, as I understand, and I'll turn this over to you in a second here, Paul, as I understand it right now, you and Jack are coordinators, is basically in-house contractors. The subcontractors who got them on are as follows. Kelso Plumbing, and they're doing the plumbing on the rest of it. Chris Perry, the cement. Adam Gard, the framing. And then CO Builders, Swift, and getting more bids. I told Jack, I got to get more bids on that 340. And that money won't be available till July.
Right.
And so we'd have CO Builders or whoever else comes in with the lowest bid on the 340 for the additional building to the west. And again, Kelso Plumbing, those are your subcontractors that the finance director can monitor within this budget we've got set up to do this.
And we'll have one more, nail benders. Nail benders.
I'm not familiar with
Foundry, and then they're doing the railing around.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I talked, that's that protective railing. Really. I'm concerned. Okay, good. Okay, so go ahead and get the report then where you're at on that.
Okay, they've got the framing, the sides of the building up. They still have to do the rough. Guy I work for, Mickey Beckstead, has got the wood bought up over west. He's going to donate the poles for the to hold the roof up on the overhang. So just, they'll be 10 of them, and then nail builders will come in. And, but we'll match the siding that's on the siding in the contour. There's two different shades, so it'll match that.
And so maybe the metal siding?
Yeah. I'm not positive what kind of inside where the showers are and all that. I'm not sure what that's going to be yet.
Are they making them ADA compliant?
I don't know.
They probably ought to be.
I hope they are. Well,
because
we might be all right where the other restrooms are ADA compliant.
Is there showers in there?
Yes.
ADA?
Yeah, we got ADA compliant inside the building.
Inside the building, so yeah, I don't know. That's why I was just wondering. As long as there's some out there, we probably would be.
We had to do with that at that time because with the CIB grant before, we had to have a DDX accessible bathroom.
Accessible.
And then these will be accessible for on the back side. We'll make it so that it's accessible. As far as that building, that's all that I've got right now.
Is that the ones that are for the camper people that stay in?
Yeah, it's for the event people, so they can have a shower and clean up.
That's what I was saying. I was just trying to remember.
Yeah. One of the biggest reasons in the applications we're doing this, we call it the horse hotel, is so we can encourage more people to bring their horses down and keep them here, and then Jack's going to transport them up. There'll be a place for people to shower and stay longer so they can ride the trails.
Could you just get a list to Dave of those subcontractors, mm-hmm. so as he gets the bills, he'll know
sure.
for what they're tied to that way, to right. help.
Okay, that's all I've really who's got on the...
Who's the group that was framing? It's good.
The backyard.
That's
Mike Bowles. I just see there's a bunch of kids out of that.
Well, that's his group.
Who was it? Okay, I
put it up in a hurry.
Yeah, I went by walking. I remember, geez, they had 10 people out there.
Okay, now, Paul's going to give an update where we stand on the 2.03 acres. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, this 2.3 acres, that's the only thing that's left now in the industrial park. And the mail, it would be, he could put his business there for a little suit him. And the other kid, Matt, is...
Garrett?
Brian?
Garrett, isn't it?
Garrett.
The only trouble with that is the sewer. I went and shot the elevations, and there's no way we could get the sewer back to this.
So I just have to maybe put a pump in or something?
Well, either that, or if we could get an easement from one of these property owners to go down that one of these properties, we could take it down the sewer down here. Or pump it back. Of course, there's not a manhole here. have to have them.
Have to have something. I think they're not really that close to it.
No.
Is there any way of getting an EDA grant to let those services in?
Yeah, that's way.
Well, I look up an EDA, it takes a long time to get that through, but there might be, once you get some numbers together, I think you've got some possible sources. But just make sure that I kind of explain, if you would too, that this, you've been talking, give an update also, if you could, on Vern and also your conversation. Okay, with Garrett and also, sorry.
I haven't talked to Mason or Garrett since.
I'm wondering about Mason. Is that Ridgeline Motors? Is that what that is?
No.
No?
No. He's got some kind of a export or import company.
Isn't him cleaning it together?
Yeah. It's Watson. It's got Dennis. Dennis Wayne. Dwayne Watson's got the Ridgeline Motors.
But if they do want this, we'll have to do something with the sewer and bring the water up.
From power.
I like the fun. Yeah, power. We've got power here. We'll have to extend the power up too, so.
We really need to get fire out of it, so that's why I was wondering about it again. How can we get a grant to go all the way along here and put the fire hydrant since they're all on the backside of that fence, on the arena side? That's a major issue.
It is.
In fact, as I recall, one of the reasons that early on we had that as a buffer zone was to do that very thing. This is going to be a utility strategy.
Okay, and I don't know 100%, but what about the money that we're using from getting from the lots that we're selling? Can't we put some of that towards?
That's, I was going to get to that.
I mean.
That'd be done quick with today's price for what we're selling these lots for.
Yeah. Well, we've got, right now, we don't want to hit or change. What we got, right now, with the sale of the last two lots, you're going to have $102,000. That's with the Cottrells and with Bowles. It's going to be a total of $102,000. And Dave, what do you got, $500,000 in reserve? But I don't like to do that. We'll find money outside of it.
Because technically, we wouldn't need, I mean, we could cut costs because we could legally put them about every 1,000 feet. We wouldn't need them every 500 feet. So that would save you a bit of cost on hydrants because we could always tie them in after the fact, later down the road.
And the problem is, C9 is $25 a foot.
It's expensive.
It's way expensive.
Like everything else, but.
4 feet's $100.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Well, Paul, if you could coordinate the sale, get some costs, we see if we can find some money. But the last two sales of lots, the Cottrells, and as I said, we'll put another $102,000 on Cottrells.
We dropped coal that.
You probably did, yeah. Needs to relieve.
They had a lot of money getting better.
I was hoping we could get this thing. Corporate home and split it in like four.
We might be able to generate, oh, sorry.
Now, one other problem I see down here where the Cottrells bought that last piece, lot number one. They could put a septic tank in or we could pump it. But the problem I see here, if we ever get this back, we'd probably have to, this bottom two-thirds of it would probably have to fall wet somewhere to a pump station and pump it back. What I would suggest is where the Cottrells are, put a line in that will cross this little piece that we own here and put a lift station in there and then lift it back to here. And that way you could also get these two lots, if they ever develop, whoever develops those, you'd have to flow it down this way and then pump it back in.
And it probably wouldn't be a whole lot of, really, no. Wouldn't be a whole lot of flow on it.
No.
I mean,
no.
So a pump like that would probably hold up for a long time anyway. But
once you put a lift station in, you can't tie anybody into it. It's got to be solid, clear to clear. So they'd have to flow it down this way. They couldn't come back here and tie it in.
Yeah.
And that would take you, that's probably basically the rest of what needs to be done out there.
On those two lots he keeps pointing to, I went to the county site to see what lots are still in our name. I've contacted these people. One of those lots he's talking is number 2 or 3 acres in Doug Hilton died. And I've been in touch with his wife and told her that because they have not filed a deed, that we would have returned my calls. I've called him three times. But I finally called Billy Slosson, and he's going to help us. We're going to, I think we have a good shot to solve that with that 3 acres. The other, well, the one that's interesting is the lot number 3, David Stewart, 5 acres. That's still not been recorded. And so I got down now to 4 of them that still got to be recorded. And I told him that we would like to put a proposal together. And if he hasn't got something, he hasn't filed that deed, hasn't got a proposal together, we're going to buy that land back. Now, there were more lots that wasn't recorded. Lot number 8, White Pines. Dave and I have talked about that. That's not been recorded. So we're down to 4 lots that haven't been recorded.
The other ones up here, too, up by the...
What's the other one?
What's his name?
Who? Oh, number 6 up there.
Yeah, has not been recorded either.
Yeah. Who's that?
Dave. Crispin. That lot's not recorded either.
It still shows it in Mount Pleasant's name.
I didn't pick that one up. I've been taking your word.
It's still in Mount Pleasant.
Okay, I'm going to let Jeannie handle that one.
I think you're...
I'm going to let Jeannie handle that one.
Yes, please.
How many times have they come and tell you that's been recorded?
That's what we've been...
I was the one that they said that would be written correctly.
Of course.
We got it.
I haven't talked to Kurt. Have you ever talked to Kurt Larson on his lot?
There's been a few conversations over the last decade and a half. No,
but look at this. The game's over. But thanks for calling my attention. I must have had such a psychological block over the name Crispin when I could check it out.
Remember when all of the fun was going on? They wanted the one deed rewritten so it was worded how they wanted it.
Yeah.
They haven't come and recorded it.
Okay. All right. Well, Gina, we'll get on that one. But anyway, we'll move forward with these meetings and on Friday. And also, I think we have to make sure, I should have showed you this. Another reason we want to keep moving forward with the plan that we have, going back to 97. Is we want to keep faith with Laura Bush when she gave us a Preserve America community. And that means much more than just Main Street, okay? Okay, Michael.
I don't think I have anything else. That's about everything I need now. Anybody have anything else?
No, I don't.
Well, as far as the Contour Arena, I've been... I went down there Saturday, and what was going on was just absolutely bananas. I think it was a really positive thing for our community. But I've talked to Jack a little bit, and he's a little bit frustrated because he needs some help. And I was looking around, and I thought, good grief, I don't even know how you run something like this. I didn't even see any city personnel there, really. So I don't know if we need to make a plan or what we need to do to get him a little bit more help, because... Good grief. Managing a crowd like that is going to take some resources. I don't know if we can...
Well, I know there's money available through the Heritage Foundation to give him some help.
Uh-huh.
But the problem that I've heard is they're not qualified to run equipment out there. And what would it take if we did qualify? If we did hire someone?
Who's the Heritage Foundation?
Pardon? The money that you told me that was available through...
We got some money because of the 904,000, the 604 in place and the 3. But the Heritage area, because we have show that as one of our demonstration projects to show the role of horses played in the development of the colonization of the West, we could give a grant. You talked about a slush fund at one time. We could give a grant. For example, the Heritage area just gave a small $200 to Wasatch Academy, earmarked for the equestrian, in appreciation of Todd Tree helping out down there. Because I know what they're concerned about is issues like Workman's Comp and stuff. And so, because Todd's covered under their insurance, he can work. So we made a small one. We could give a couple thousand dollars that could be used to bring in independent contractors. But I understand they've got to coordinate it. with you folks, so you can make sure people that are using equipment and so forth. You tell them the issue.
Well, it's also hard to understand because originally when they opened, they were under the CBRA, so things were a little different as far as hiring. Now they are under the city. We have to do hiring the same way we would do hiring in any department. We can't just go out and say, we want you and this is what you're going to be doing. We have to have a job description. We have to determine what the pay scale is going to be for them. So that, and it has to be advertised so that, just like we do any other job. So it can't just be, you're going to come do this, we're going to pay you this amount. We have to advertise, we have to have a job description, and we have to determine what they're going to be paid.
It's going to be tough too, a full-time employee out there, year round. I mean, there's dead time out there.
You almost need to like be doing the summer rest.
Yeah, summer help. Seasonal help that you could take through. You'd have to get with Jack and get him to see what they needed there, but.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought about that. I seen the same thing when I walked through. I walked all the way through every event and back around the different, and there was no city employees there. But on the other side of that, Jack and Galen got that all set up at the rodeo. That's a good, they get that help.
But they were volunteers.
They're volunteers, that's right.
But they were using the equipment.
And we got to be careful about Nick getting in the mix of that and losing them volunteers. So it's something we have to be.
And I don't think he's looking for people during these events. It's getting ready for the cleanup.
Yeah, and the cleanup after. Yeah, and if we had seasonal people that, I don't know, somebody, if we could bring them on as part-time and or on call, I don't know how we do it.
Well, we don't, the issue, we don't want to gloss over that because it's an important point. When we started this, it all came under the RDA because Jack was acting as an independent contractor and the money was going through White Peak Ranch and he could actually pay people, which he did. But then because of issues, not so much with the IRS and David Lange's, but mainly because we had a lawsuit out there, we were concerned, and so therefore they shifted over, as she's pointed out, as employees of the recreation department, and that changes the whole dynamics down there. Otherwise, we could just give a grant to White Peaks. We can still do that if there's some way that we can figure out a legal way that these people are contract people that come in under White Peak Ranch just to clean stalls or something like that.
Well, can you 1099 them?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at, 1099.
Usually a 1099 a contractor, somebody like that.
The big issue for this weekend, the big issue is cleaning stalls.
That's why I say the biggest issue would be your running the city equipment.
The RDA, I think legally, could give it, I don't know, theoretically, I guess, I don't know, we have to be careful with this, so let's say it's off the top of our head, but it's possible maybe that we could bring in contract employees who have one specific assignment to clean the stall, just like you'd have a 1099 janitor or somebody.
Well, and I don't think, honestly, I don't think that the departments are against helping out there, but it needs to be go through the department heads. So if they need help from power, they need to talk to Shane. They need help from public works, they need to talk to culture. They're more than willing to help, they just need to talk to the right people.
Yeah. Yeah, and I explained to Jack that's how the process works.
So the big issue right now, as I understand it, and maybe it just got solved, is to get some help down there, clean the stalls, and get things ready for this weekend.
Well, mentioned something to me about a barn that needs to be done by Thursday. Do you know anything about that?
What he's probably talking about is clean the stalls in the Angels barn down there when you get this guy. I thought it was coming in Friday, I'll check and see. But if the only issue is clearing those things out in the next couple of days, I guess the answer is whether Colder feels like we got people that go do that, or theoretically we could bring in, on a one-shot deal, just bring somebody in and give them a 1099 to clean the stalls.
Well, if a city employee wants to do it, can't they do it?
As long as they're not using it, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, my thoughts is can't we just do like a 1099 for a city employee to go down there on non-city time, but on their own time to do it as a 1099.
I don't know the answer.
It gets really messy.
That's the liability.
Well, just the IRS kind of.
Gets weird, but I'll give you a thought, I mean.
It's hard to do 10 months.
That's what I was wondering, because they're trying to get rid of the overtime, that's why I was saying.
It's an IRS issue, you can have a hard time showing that they worked in segregation.
Something else, it's a little bit off where we're at, but the signs out there for trespassing and liability. I went down there the other morning, and there was a kid out there in a white GMC, and he was just stirring the dust up that parking lot, just doing digging. I don't know if you.
That's been a problem for a long time.
Yeah, I don't know if you've got any legal rights without signs, without something out there to tell them they're liable for, to have that repaired.
Well, if they're reckless, right, if they're doing reckless, they, you don't need a sign, because then they can tell them they're being reckless.
They're not allowed to go down there and do that.
Oh, they just tear it up.
City property.
It's been happening a long time, the city property. Maybe look at some signage and stuff like that, I don't know.
What we do, what cameras? Have we looked into any more cameras?
We've been talking to Jack about tagging onto our fiber system since we're right there.
In fact, we got, this was today. I called Dave today, Jeannie, we got an invoice in from a company called Millennial LLC in Spanish Fork. It was $1,400 some odd. I called him to give me EIN number for him, bring it over to you. He's ordered security cameras, $1,400 worth.
That'd go a long ways, then you got, but then if we had some signs up stating the liability.
Has he ordered these cameras? Because that's the trouble, we gotta make sure they tie into what we've already got. That's a concern I have, if he's just ordered cameras without coming through the right way to make sure it ties in to the.
Let me, it won't take 2 seconds, I'm gonna go get that invoice in a second. Remember I called you about it, and so you got EIN number for it?
But to solve the problem right now, so Jack needs help, can we get him some part-time help?
Well, okay, well, but I'm just wondering even for right now, until we can advertise, because that's gonna take time and everything else. If a city employee wants to do it, can't we just pay him out of a different fund? If they want to take it on their own, I mean, versus like public work, or you don't.
I had another thought. Contact the juvenile court system or the court system and see if there are any people that need some community service hours.
That's a good idea.
Get them down there and get them to some community service. Let them know that we've got a huge need right now, and I'm sure they'll start referring some people over there.
Problem is, the state's gone away from a lot of that.
Sheriff's office can help with that.
A little bit, I know they've had the jail people down there before.
Who does Jack have?
Sheriff goes to give us the community services.
Is he the one?
Like Trace still does it, but they kind of limited what they do, as far as you.
Because Jack's down, he can't supervise this, and if you bring.
Trace is supervised, smart work for us. He used to do it for the city all the time, we used to have him come and do stuff, and we'd eat, and they'd go.
Do what your schedule like tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or assign community service hours.
Yeah, so maybe an adult, I don't know how, and I don't know who you talk to.
So, kind of waiting to turn irrigation on.
Because you're not gonna turn that on this week, it's cold, so yes. Can you go help tomorrow?
Absolutely. And I'm not against helping, all I want is to coordinate with Jack, so that I can still accomplish the task we need to get.
And the equipment you need, it's not tied up too.
Yeah. That's all I'm asking for, is communication. And if he needs a couple guys, I don't mean he can have a couple guys down there to help him. But when I don't know, and I've got like, I don't know how to explain to the community that we're not doing potholes because I had the whole crew down there cleaning horse stalls. And that's where my frustration comes in.
With the weather looking out there like it is tonight, you won't be able to do potholes, can you take your whole crew down there tomorrow?
Absolutely.
That's all I'm asking, that's all I'm Jack. Okay, here's the answer to that question. I called Dave about this today, this, Jack brought this by, Millennium Group LLC, Spanish Fork. I looked them up, I got their phone number to call them, they didn't get back to me, so I put an EIN number, put on the claim form. But here's what they're ordering, here's what he brought by for $1,496 for the security.
Has it already been ordered?
It's an invoice, I assume that's the case.
Is Quinn still helping you guys, Boulder?
On work?
Yeah, and he's been helping Gavin after work installs.
So he knows what needs to be done out there.
I think Quinn was down there working today.
Yeah.
Were you down there today?
Is Gavin, is he part-time, is he a part-time employee? Is he able to run equipment?
Yes. Yes and no, because we don't have the legal job description, Jack just hired him, that's where we're running into these problems. Because Jack just keeps hiring people and we don't get the job description.
I thought Kate was on the payroll before Gavin.
But we've never had a job description for him, but Jack did come and talk to me today. I did write up a job description, which I sent to the mayor, Dave and Jack to look at it and let me know if it's okay. So that we can.
This is a pretty vague system, it doesn't say what type of cameras, what. All that.
But you had talked.
All my head.
How many cameras, $1,400?
It says 16 camera system with 8 cameras, but it don't say what cameras they are or what anything else.
Where they do night.
With a monitor and 1,000. Cat 6,000 foot spool. So it doesn't really tell us what that's.
Sounds like an independent system.
It's an independent system. It doesn't tell us what the cameras are, HP or, you know. So it's really vague on what is really there.
Why don't we call the wall and ask the city to phone number?
Yeah. Because again, if we could tie it in, the fiber's already there, we tie it in our existing system, it'd be a lot better than getting all these independent systems with hard drives and servers.
Well, you don't have to pay the
license fees.
Yeah.
Because license fees, that's what scares me with a lot of these, we get the independents going in there.
I'll call tomorrow and see what the status of it is, and maybe it can be.
Yeah, why don't you call and see what this, because again, it'd be nice to know what exact cameras they're using. I mean.
I'll call.
I'll tell you, that candid camera disturbs a lot of them.
It does.
They know there's a camera looking at them, they.
Sometimes even just having the sign that says.
Yes, you're under surveillance.
That's enough of a deterrent.
You can't throw a sign without the camera working. If you have the sign there, the camera's not working, you can be in a lawsuit if somebody gets, something happened and it's your fault to do it.
Like in New York subway, are they gonna get a lawsuit now?
Who knows? We just gotta watch that though, as far as advertising that.
Okay.
Going back to Gavin, if we can get him the paperwork to where he's an employee, will he be able to run equipment?
Yeah, he can run equipment. That might go a lot better, so.
Because, I mean, Gavin does a lot out there.
Yes, he does.
The more he can do, the less we'll have to use your guys.
Yeah, it sounds to me like if we got together to the end of job description, that might solve the problem.
All right.
Okay, let's make a motion adjourned.
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Okay, Russ makes the motion adjourned, and Paul seconded. All those in favor?
Aye. I'm the adjourned man.
Adjourned to adjourn.
Oh, nice snowing night like this, about 65 degrees and a good soft bed, that's all.
That's the adjourn?
After we adjourn.
No, the next soft bed. Look like a restroom.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome everyone out to our city council meeting tonight, the 12th of April. 6:30, we're just a little bit late starting. We're going to start tonight with the Pledge of Allegiance by Steve Clark and an opening prayer by Shane Ward.
I pray to all veterans to salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to be here on this night, we're so grateful for the moisture which we're receiving and for all that thou hast given us. We're grateful for the beautiful valley in which we live and for this beautiful community. We ask this time to please bless us with thy spirit that we may discuss the issues in here in this meeting. to better our town, our community, and work out our differences and work together. We're grateful for each other and for the opportunity we have to work with one another and for the family in which we become. We're grateful for all the citizens here, and please be with each and every one of them, and for all those who are serving in our military and who are abroad. And we're grateful for everything God does for us, and we leave these things with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Next will be your roll call.
Paul. I'm going to go all over. Lynn.
Here.
Paul.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Bull.
Here.
Rodney.
Here.
Ben.
Here.
Okay, next approval of minutes of our March 8th regular city council meeting held at 6:30.